Welcome to another edition of Flea Market Fantasy, the world's second greatest Bronze Age era comic book podcast. Joining me, as always, is new Mike L. Kevin Jank.
I'm here, and I'm still white.
Yeah. Kev is still white. Hey, why don't you explain to the kids who our special guest is there, Kev?
Oh, our special guest, I mean, he may also be white, but he's the foremost expert on black culture in this podcast, I'm pretty sure. my cousin, Pete Jank.
Yo.
I can't say rock on tour because you've cornered that word, Marcus. So yeah. I'll just call him a Poppin' Jay.
Poppin' Jay. Pete Jank. Oh. Welcome back to the show, Pete.
They call me Master P where I'm from.
Oh, there you go. And, of course, when Pete's here, I have to call Jank Kev. So let's just keep that in mind as we go through the show. But Pete, I hear tell that Kev gave you the honor of picking tonight's issue. Why don't you tell the people what we'll be reading?
Oh, well, he gave me the honor of picking a comic, so I wanted to do a fun one here. This is
he's stalling to look for the comic.
It's Lois Lane. Issue 106.
Yes.
Superman's girlfriend.
Yes, yeah, Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane. That's a very wordy title. I think I'll just call it Lois Lane in the YouTube description. But, this is from 1970, a tumultuous time in our society, you know?
That's right.
So you needed Lois Lane to tackle society's ills.
Oh, boy, and did she.
Is there any reason why you picked this issue, Pete?
I was trying to find legit just strange comic issues.
You did it. And, congratulations.
And this one came up, and I was like, I bet they didn't. I don't think they've covered this one yet.
No, we had not.
Nope.
This is a weird one. Why is this issue weird, Pete? What happens in this issue of Lois Lane?
Oh, it just takes you down. I almost said memory lane, but no, it takes you down maybe a curiosity lane, a lane of curiosity. We'll call it an avenue of curiosity.
Right.
in which the cover, the cover alone is
glorious. You see that and you know you're in for something special.
The cover is like multiple panels just in itself.
Yep.
Yeah, it tells the whole story pretty much on the cover. You don't even need the book.
That's true.
But what is the gimmick?
Oh, yeah, sorry. That was my... I should have continued. Lois Lane, obviously being a very popular character, has decided to go black.
Well...
Yes. And go back.
And then go back. Yeah.
In 24 hours.
She wants to experience life as a black woman for one day.
That was more wordy than what I said.
This is, all right, well, before we get into all that, though, let's remind everybody, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. We're up to 195 subscribers. We picked up three more. I think three more Jank cousins subscribed to the channel. Yeah, if we could just go to the Jank cousins to subscribe, we'd get the 500 pretty quick.
So, yeah. That's accurate. Too bad a lot of them are holdouts.
Yeah. Sadly. All right, so all right, but getting back to this year's issue there. Well, first let's talk Lois Lane. Now, Kev, why don't you explain to the people who don't know who Lois Lane is? Who's Lois Lane?
Who's Lois Lane? I don't know that anybody doesn't know this.
Everyone knows who Lois Lane is.
Lois Lane is the street that Pete lives on.
That's true, actually.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's not even it's just a joke.
That's legit. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the main reasons in why I chose to buy this house.
Oh, I had no idea. Wow. That is pretty cool. All right.
But other than that, she
Elm
is
Street, but there was a pervert on Elm Street, so we chose against it.
Yeah. Lois Lane. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But she's literally Superman's girlfriend now. Like, it says it right in the title, right? Yeah. I mean, that's
apparently
her
at this point she was dating Superman, not Clark. She would not tell her his identity.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yep. She's still thinking they're different people, but that's got to be awkward.
And she's, of course, a news reporter at the Daily Planet.
That's right.
The bastion of yellow journalism, the Daily Planet. And
it was so popular that, like, Superman must have been killing it because they gave, like, her own comic. They gave Jimmy Olsen his own comic. Like, why are you giving all these spinoffs to, like, side characters who don't have superpowers? But
well, I'll tell you in a second.
Like this.
Yeah, I'll tell you here in a second. So Lois Lane, her first appearance, Action Comics 1, 1938, of course, created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. And this here series ran from 1958 to 1974, 137 issues, two annuals. And get a load of this. In 1962, it was the third best-selling comic book in the United States, trailing only Superman and Superboy. So, yeah, those are the top three. Bang, 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 Lois Lane.
What do you think happens in those annuals? Like, she fights Darkseid? You got off the ante.
But the series focused on Lois's solo adventures, and the stories often centered on Lois's romantic interest in Superman and her attempts to get him to marry her.
Oh, yeah. There's some of that in here.
Yes. It gets very awkward at the end of this issue.
Yeah. Superman's main ability apparently is dodging questions.
and apparent accusations of racism as well. He kind of sidesteps that like a speeding bullet as well.
That one.
All right. So that's the series we're dealing with here. But obviously, now Pete, you're familiar with this whole concept, right? I'm sure you're a scholarly individual. You're a man of letters and books and whatnot. You've probably heard of this whole concept of someone going undercover as an African-American, right? And then writing a book about it?
As an African-American?
Well, yeah.
I'm not, no.
Oh, okay. Kev, you're familiar with this, right?
Oh, sure. They used to do it all the time, and I think all those people are now canceled.
No, this is a big deal. 1961, there was a book by a fellow named John Howard Griffin. He was a journalist. And he darkened his skin artificially, and then he traveled into the Deep South and reported on what it was like to live as a black man in the Deep South. Never heard of this?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have heard of that.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, black like me. Yeah, very famous.
There was a Boy Meets World episode called Chick Like Me, where Sean went undercover as a woman.
There's also a WKRP episode where Les Nessman he did blackface because he wanted to do a black like me thing on the radio. Uh-oh. And that take over. So. All right, but anyway,
radio. Yes. Why did you have to go all up then?
So John Howard Griffin, he did his little thing here under doctor's care. He took like large doses of this medication to darken his skin. And he also spent up to 15 hours a day under an ultraviolet lamp for a week. And then after he did his investigation, he quit taking the medication and spent 3 days in a hotel room to avoid the sun. And boom, he was back to normal. But in this book,
he also got severe cancer.
He did not. Oh, there's a rumor that he died of cancer. He actually died of diabetes. later. But he did get nauseous, I think, taking so much of his medicine. But anyway, in this book, Lois doesn't do any of that.
Nope. Now when you got Kryptonian technology on your side.
What does she do in this here book, Kev?
It's some kind of plastic mold. Like, I guess when you go to the zoo and they make those little molded plastic animals, but they do it around her body and it just looks so realistic. It can also do hair apparently because she has an afro now.
And I think she also comes out looking a little bustier. So Superman was monkeying with the dolls a little bit. But yeah.
Well, it's got to add another layer. So,
so, the writer here is a fellow named Robert Kaniger. We've talked about him on the show many times. Famous DC editor and writer. He has 1,918 writing credits at DC. That's a lot. Just to sit down and write 1,900 of anything. It's a lot. And
1,900 words.
His most famous work is probably on Sergeant Rock, and then he had a 22-year run on Wonder Woman as a writer and an editor. So, yeah, he's like synonymous with the Wonder Woman. I'm pretty sure that's when we talked about him before on this show. We did a Wonder Woman issue at some point. And the artist here is a fellow named Werner Roth. We've never talked about him. Born 1921, sadly passed away in 1973. 33 penciling credits at DC, including 15 issues of Lois Lane. He also worked for Marvel under the name Jay Gavin, and he did that to prevent his bosses at DC from knowing he was moonlighting for the competition. But he had 164 penciling credits at Marvel, and he was the artist who immediately followed Jack Kirby on the X-Men. And he did 17 issues from 13 to 29.
So, yeah, I was going to say, the Werner Roth does sound familiar.
So those are the creators we're dealing with here. Pete, I'm sure you're big fans of both of them, right?
Oh.
He's got his Werner Roth collection at home. Pete, are you a big Superman guy in general?
No.
You answered that almost as quick as I do when someone asked me that. Yeah. No. God.
He's the worst.
Yeah, he is, right? They just made him too powerful, you know? Just ridiculous.
Not good.
So, yeah.
I don't know what's going on there.
It's just like, although, Captain Marvel. Can't make somebody so good that everybody's going to like you. Too good, and then nobody's going to like you.
We just did Martian Manhunter last week, who is, like, even more ridiculous. Like, he's got all of Superman's powers, plus, like, 75 more.
He could turn invisible, shapeshift.
Yeah. Change his density.
So,
he's an alien.
Yeah.
I guess so was Superman. So,
that's both last sons of their planets. They're pretty much just ripping each other off.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's all the backstory we need for this. How about, Kev, it is your usual job, but maybe let's let Pete describe the cover for us.
Sure.
Peter, are you looking at the cover, Pete?
I was just a second ago, but then a porn picture popped up on this lovely website, and now it's frozen this entire site, and I can't get back into it.
All right. Well, just describe the porn picture for us instead. That'd be nice.
It was a lady. Her toes were white.
All right. Her Superman give black. Her a little bit more in the bust as well.
All right. Well, let's go, Kev. I guess it's your job again. You got to describe the cover for me.
Just when I thought I was off the hook. So we got the little corner circle up there of Superman and Lois Lane walking, you know, arm in arm on a date. That's nice, I guess. And then right below it, it says DC, Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, even though it says that right next to it in the actual title. So
yeah,
I don't
know
why they're
terrible.
Doubling up on that.
Also, their spelling girlfriend is two words. So that shows you how the language has evolved since 1970, I guess. Also, when we get to the actual title of the book, Lois Lane is in one font in orange. Then we have the traditional Superman's like logo, and then girlfriend is in a different font in white. This is the ugliest letter like title thing I've ever seen.
It really is, and yeah, you can see how much effort they put into Superman. Like he's got the cool letters, like the blocky style 3D coming out letters. But then Lois Lane is just like, whatever. This is fine.
It's awful.
It's simple. It's simple letters.
Yeah.
But here's what we should do for our comic book title. Let's have, you know, make it 4 or 5 words and have them all in different fonts and colors. That'll look awesome. Let's do that.
Yeah. It's like that Fiona Apple album where it was just a paragraph. That was the title of the album.
When the Pawn. Yeah, that whole thing. All right, so what about the actual action on the cover, though? What about that?
Yeah, it's a black background, and then we got a 3-panel type thing going on here where all the way there on the one side we got, are you sure you want to go through with this, Lois? She says, yes, Superman, close the body mold and switch on the power. And she's being, like, closed into this, like, sarcophagus type thing. And then we get the middle panel where Superman's working the controls there, and she's getting zapped with some kind of energy. And Then in the last panel, it's important that I live the next 24 hours as a black woman. And yep, now she's there. She is. She's been fully blackened. And
also, look,
so we get the title. I'm furious black.
Yeah,
I am furious black in parentheses. Yeah,
so weird.
Hey, and then at the bottom there, plus another explosive adventure of Rose and the Thorn.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't read that. So,
oh, you I did read that. I actually, yeah, we'll talk about
I did
that
too. Yeah. And the Senti might want to, you know, she might be in trouble. She may have stolen some things for Typhoid Mary
from the Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Yeah. But also for this cover, what do you think about Lois's outfit there, Pete, on the cover? The fishnet stocking?
You know, it changes. Let me tell you that, because she goes into something a little bit more fruity after this. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. I like her hair. She's got a great hairstyle when she comes out. Beforehand, it was okay, but the fro is all that. That's all the rage back then.
But she's wearing this little orange dress, very short skirt, and fishnet stockings.
She's got the Orin around her neck. The Orin.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's from the Never Ending Story.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
The Orin.
All right, we open it up, and right away we get a big ad for a bunch of things you could get in comic books back in the day. These ads are awesome. And the first one I see is rubber masks, and there's one for a monkey, $2.85. I want to get that, that monkey mask for $2.85.
Yeah. Not so many.
That's pretty awesome.
X-ray vision glasses. Yeah, those always worked.
That's the classic comic book ad, the X-ray vision glasses. So, all right, we open it up. We get a splash page here, and Lois is black, and she's talking to Superman. She says, "Look me straight in the eye, Superman, and tell me the truth. Will you marry me just the way I am?" And Superman says, "Lois, how could you ask such a question of me? Me! Don't answer a question with a question, Superman. I'm not black, but you're white. I want a simple answer, yes or no. Will you marry me?" And
even though apparently it sounds like she does this every issue where she's like, "Will you marry me?" And he's like, "No." So I don't know why she thought like, "Oh, this is really going to put him on the spot."
Well, I guess normally in the issues, you know, she tries to get him to marry him, and then there's some little comedic mishap at the end to prevent it or something. Yeah,
like Hong Kong Fooey.
So in this issue, the comedic mishap is racism that prevents it. Superman wants none of it. It's like, oh.
Dude, look, her dress has changed. She's now wearing a watermelon dress.
Well, yeah, well, yes, it's green with pink on it, which is very...
And black seeds. I'm not sure if you're saying what I'm saying.
That is true.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. This is...
It's for you.
That was probably a bad choice by them.
This is very, very racist, this whole issue. All right, so... Hey, speaking of racism, did you know Metropolis has a little Africa section? Because apparently it does.
Yeah.
They keep all the black people in little Africa. She's crazy. But on the next page at the Daily Planet, Lois says, I've the assignment of my life. I have the assignment to get
Why
the
use outside- lot words when few words work better?
To get the inside story of Metropolis's Little Africa. Man, I had no idea Metropolis had a Little Africa.
Yeah. I wonder how deep they go, like. They're like a little Czechoslovakia. They got neighborhood for everybody.
I don't know. But, yeah, so she's all excited. But Clark Kent is sitting there, and he's worried, you know. He's like, "Oh, good luck, Lois." But then in his mind, he's thinking, just the same, I'm going to change to Superman and keep an eye on her. Can't let a white lady go to Little Africa.
Yeah,
that'd be trouble.
What are you thinking?
Yeah. So off she goes. And here, this is a cab driver, her buddy. He's like, "Yeah, I'll take you down there to Little Africa, little lady." You know, he seems all friendly. But then later, we find out he's a dirty racist, too. Right?
Yeah. So she's got it all.
Yep.
And so, Pete, how does Lois Lane, how does she fare when she goes down to Little Africa?
Well, I'll tell you right now, they don't like her. They want nothing. she's got what I like to call the disease.
Being whitey?
Yeah.
Being whitey. Yeah, basically, yep. She starts to try to talk to several different people, and everybody just seems to be ignoring her. The first group she runs into are just a group of kids, and she's trying to ask them about, you know, different things like school and whatnot, but they just kind of turn their back and run away. Now, this could just be a kid thing.
Yeah, it could be. Just be
kid. They don't like the adults. I always ran away from adults. Like, hey, boy, do you want some candy? And I said, and I would take it, and then I'd run.
Then I get in their van.
Yep. Yeah. They might drive you to more candy.
That's right. Candyland. Which I found out was on Elm Street. There's a lot of wrong things.
But then she starts knocking on doors, you know, just bugging people in their homes.
And, would also I feel like she is in the wrong altogether. I think the issue is saying one thing, but it's like, all right, adult talking to kids are going to run. That's just going to happen. This lady's knocking on doors, random doors. These people don't know who this chick is. It's slamming the doors. It's like, okay, well, it's not because you're white. It's you're weird. What are you doing?
Yeah, if somebody knocks on my door in my apartment building, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I never answer the door. I'll stand right in front of the window and look at him, and I'm not answering the door. I'm not even going to pretend to not be home. No, I'm in here. I'm not answering the door. But yeah, Lois Lane, she's superstar reporter Lois Lane from the Daily Planet. She figures everyone's just going to fawn all over, you know. But
this is not the case. Not even the baby wants anything to do with this.
Yeah.
That's not the way it is in Little Africa.
Mom's like, you ain't touching my baby.
This is my favorite one.
She
finds an old lady. Well, you talk about it, Kev. Explain this next one.
Yeah, she finds an old woman in the park, and she sits down next to her. She's like going to talk. She's going to chat up this old lady. And the woman's like, oh, nice to have the sun shining on your face. And Lois is so happy. She's like, at last, someone is speaking to me. I'm Lois Lane, madam, a reporter for the Daily Planet. I'd like to. And she just gets up and walks away. She's like, oh, even though she was blind, she could tell from my voice that I was white. So she just booked it.
He's like, nope, I'm out of here. I'm not talking to Whitey. Get out of here. Yeah. Now as she goes down the streets of Orange, she sees a young fellow on the corner. He's preaching to everyone else around him. He's like, look at her, brothers and sisters. She's young and sweet and pretty, but never forget, she's Whitey. And he's pointing right at Lois Lane.
Yeah. He reminds me of Samuel L. Jackson in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Where she's like, who don't we need to help us? White people. That's right, kids.
And he's still going off. He's like, yeah, she'll let us shine her shoes and sweep her floors and babysit for her kids, but she doesn't want to let our kids into the lily white schools. And she's like, and she's thinking to herself, he's wrong about me, but right about so many others. Poor Lois. What a horrible afternoon for Lois. But thankfully, Pete, who comes to save the day?
Hey, the only person who can. Anybody else but Superman.
Good old Superman.
Superman shows up, and he's just like, wow, what's going on here kind of thing. Oh, goddamn pornos. This site sucks. They need to make sites.
There's a special browser we can hook you up with that blocks all that.
Yeah. Grave cuts down on that a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't get any. Terrible.
Yeah, otherwise it's unbearable.
Yeah. It's all the worst.
But anyway, she's like, hey, Superman, I'll never get inside Little Africa unless you help me. And he's like, all right, I'll help you get inside Little Africa. Yeah. I don't know. There's something so wrong about all of this. But yeah, he takes her to the Fortress of Solitude, which again is a concept that he stole from Doc Savage, which I have to point out every time. And didn't even change the name. Just, anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just stole it. All right, so yeah, he takes Lois to the old Fortress of Solitude there, and he puts her in the plastimold, which is
Jack. has always had a plasta mold, or is this just specific for this issue?
It says it was invented by Darnell, a Kryptonian surgeon, as told in Lois Lane issue 90.
Oh, okay. So yeah. This is a reoccurring member of the cast, the plasta.
I wonder how it was used the first time.
Hmm. Well, tune in next week.
Lois wanted to be Asian for a day. So anyway, he puts in the plasta mold, and just as Kev described on the cover, we go through the same thing. He flips the switch, and Lois slowly turns black. And
yeah.
She pops out, and she's ready to go back to Lil Africa.
But just before that, Superman
warns her, you'll be
in a different outfit.
Yeah, she says, I have to go change my clothes. I'm still dressed too white, I guess. Yeah, change my clothes. But he tells her to only be black for one day. You know?
Yep.
It's going to wear off. So Kev, she goes down there. Oh, she says, oh no, it starts to rain. I don't want it to ruin my beautiful Afro attire. You know, she's wearing African garb now.
Hip on the lingo already. Yeah.
but she tries to flag down her buddy, the cab driver, and he just drives right past her.
Yep.
I'm not picking you up, lady.
She does.
And he goes and picks up Whitey while she's standing there in the corner.
The color of my money isn't good enough.
So, Kev, now she goes to the subway, and it looks like she's that one guy, the blonde, looks like that dude from Scooby-Doo.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, probably does.
He's got the little scarf
Fred's
around
him. Fred's a bit of a racist.
So what goes on now, Kev?
She's just kind of feeling conspicuous. She feels out of place, like everyone's staring at her. And just the only difference is my skin is black now. And I'm covered in plastic.
Plastimold.
So then she gets out of the subway and she decides to go back to the apartment building, I think. And she sees smoke. There's smoke coming from the back of the stairs. And there was like a fire that was about to start, but she kind of puts it out from like a pile of trash. And some woman comes along and she was like, oh yeah, this place is a fire trap. So like, glad, good thing you were here.
She's the real Superman.
But she invites Lois into her apartment. It's a rundown, you know, beat up apartment, cracked plaster and everything. And she's going to give her some coffee. And did she say something about her son's pants? She say here.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Hope you're not a bill collector. Money's tighter around here than my son Lonnie's blue jeans. And they're tighter than his skin. Fucking Lonnie.
And some plaster falls off into Lois's coffee. And then we hear the baby yelling from the other room, Mama, Mama. And the lady says, uh-oh, looks like our visitor's back. And she runs in and she's chasing away a rat with a broom.
Yep. And then Lois gets pretty sad because she's kind of understanding and seeing the conditions that they're living in. Rats, fire traps, Bonnie, and his blue jeans.
Because the lady says, I haven't asked who you are or what you're here for. Can I help you, sister? And that's when Lois starts tearing up. She lives in misery, yet asks if she can help me.
But she still sounds white, so she can't talk. So she's just going through as kind of cute, I guess, to all these people.
So now she goes back out in the streets, and she sees another guy preaching. And now he's preaching to the kids. He's got a bunch of little kids around him. He says, black is beautiful. What am I? Say it loud and proud. Black. What is black? Beautiful. So he's teaching all these kids to have pride. And then that kid that she was getting called Whitey by before, mm-hmm. He said she's all sweet and pretty. He comes up behind her, taps her on the shoulder, says, hey there, sister. Can I talk to you? Whatever, you know? And then what happens, though, Kev?
Oh, they see some toughs going into the alley over there. Those kids, dropouts, they should be in school. I've got an idea who they're going to meet in that alley. And it turns out it's drug dealers. Old-timey drug dealers wearing, like, fancy bowler hats and, pinstripe suits.
Like a traveling cast of guys and dolls. working out in Little Africa. But yeah, he goes just running in there, and he's like, "Hey, get out of here, you hoodlums!" And but they just pull their guns out and shoot the kid.
Yeah. I don't know how this guy survived this long. Like, I get the feeling he does this all the time.
Lois gave him the confidence.
But Lois, catches his body as it's falling down, and then here comes Superman, and he heat visions their guns, and so the guys and dolls people drop their guns, and then
to wait this long. You could have, like, stepped in before he got shot, maybe.
Superman's fists erupt like twin volcanoes, is how it's described. He just punches them both, knocks them out.
And then a blast from melting our guns to taffy.
I just like that they say they could feel the heat coming from his eyes. Oh. Like a dog in heat.
So could that guy in that Christmas with the Superheroes issue where Superman was a male prostitute? You remember that one? Superman picked up a guy. His car. Anyway, Superman, he's so still. Yeah, because he got shot in the chest. But Superman picks him up and Lois, and they fly to the hospital. And, they're working on the kid. And I don't know how old he is. How old is this kid? Like 18, 20, something like that?
He's in his 20s or 30s, but I have a question. Do you think that Superman may have used his, like, but didn't say anything, which is why it's not in this issue, but do you think he used his X-ray vision and was about to say, "Oh, it looks like he got shot," but then he realized how stupid that would sound, because obviously he did?
I don't know. I never considered that.
The small things, I guess.
So they're in the hospital now, and they're looking for blood donors, and Superman says, "Hey, you know, I'd give you my blood, but you don't have a needle strong enough to penetrate my skin. Sorry."
Yeah.
So he can't do it. Yeah. But Lois is like, "Hey, I'm O negative, just like him. So yeah, I'll donate the blood, you know?" And she gets down there. She's donating the blood. She's looking over at him. And she's like, "Oh, please let him be okay. Please let him be okay." And after she donates the blood, now, Kev, she goes and has a heart-to-heart with Superman.
Yeah, here comes the big confrontation that we saw at the beginning of the issue.
Yeah.
She's like, "Look me straight in the eye and tell me the truth. Do you love me? Suppose I couldn't change back. Would you marry me, even if I'm black, an outsider in a white man's world?" He's just like, how can you ask me that? You ask that of Superman, an alien from Krypton, another planet, universal outsider? I don't even have human skin. It's tougher than steel. But your skin is the right color. You know I couldn't risk placing you in deadly danger from my foes. They'd try to hurt me by killing you.
So that's a no. That's a no.
You know it's too dangerous for us to get married, so yeah. Let's not do that.
Let's just, you know, have some fun.
It's called a side piece, Lois.
But yeah, we never got a yes out of him about the whole race question, you know? But sure, I'd marry him.
But before she could say another word, a little something happens.
She reverts back to white.
That something was a sigh of relief from Superman.
He immediately flew back to the fortress and destroyed the plastic mold.
I thought for sure we'd get the whole speech about, no, love isn't skin, you know, it's more than skin deep. I love the woman you are, Lois. I don't care what your skin color is. No one should be judged by their skin color. We don't get any of that from Superman. We just get a lot of heaven and hot.
Typical Superman, I would think, but no, they don't deliver.
He's just stalling until she turns back to being white. So, all right, then the nurse comes in and she says, "Hey, that fella, he's starting to wake up there." And she goes, "Wait a minute." And she's like, "Yeah, it's me, nurse. I'm now white. Yeah,
it's me." Don't worry. This can't be the first time you've walked in on this.
But Lois is concerned. She says, "He called me Whitey, his enemy. What will he say now?" And Superman says, just go ahead. See what he wants there, Lois. Just so I can get out of here before you ask me to marry you again." But then Pete, she goes in to see the fella, and what happens?
This is actually a pretty great little scene here, because there are no words. It's all just panels, and, you know, you get a little shock and awe from his face initially, and, you know, big old smile, They both reach their hands out towards each other. They do a good old shake and embrace.
Yeah. They shake hands, and that's how the story ends.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet. And a nice sentiment behind the story, right, Pete?
Oh, yeah. That's why I chose it.
Yeah. The execution's a little weird at times.
It's a little wonky.
Did you call me honky?
I so wanted someone to use the word honky or cracker. And it should never happened.
Nope, just yeah.
Yeah. Just opportunities.
But yeah, that was a nice little story there. A little goofy, but what did you think, Kev?
Yeah, it was a fun time. I enjoyed it. It's very of its time, which, I mean, even for the 70s, this seems kind of goofy.
This is 1970, so it's very early.
Yeah. But still, DC was always behind. Like, I feel like they were always, you know, not quite up to the times.
Well, I don't know. They actually were the leader, right? Then with the old heroin story in 72 or whatever.
Yeah.
So they were actually cutting edge there for a little bit. So.
But so many of our, you know, books that we've read from DC, we're like, wait a minute, why is this like 1982 when like,
yeah, seems in like that gold? Sense. Yeah, they did. That is weird because they're like groundbreaking with the Green Arrow, Green Lantern stuff. But then Batman in like 83 was still like the most ridiculous thing ever. So,
and like it does even out by like the mid 80s, DC was kind of, you know, lapping Marvel a little bit in terms of maturity.
So, all right, that's that story. Now, Pete, I'm sure you read all this other stuff. Letters to Lois and Rose.
Nope. I didn't know who they were, so I didn't care. These were just ads, and then I thought it was just like fan-made letters to somebody. And like,
well, I think that Lois is Lois Lane, and I think Rose is the Rose and Thorn, who we will be talking about here in a second. But then
what we did need, though, is an Aquaman Twinkies ad. Yeah. Not a single one to be seen.
But what we do get is Wonder Women of History from Wonder Woman. And although we don't see Wonder Woman in any of this, I guess she's just narrating. Could have used a picture of Wonder Woman.
A letter, I guess.
But she tells us about Martha G. Kimball, a Civil War nurse. And we get two pages of this Martha Kimball. And they show her caring for soldiers. And I guess it was her idea to come up with Memorial Day. But look at that. I learned something. Yeah. Oh. From Lois Lane. And Wonder Woman. Yeah, thank you, Wonder Woman. So,
stopping by, even though you didn't.
All right, now we go to Rose and Thorn. And I had heard of this character, I guess, but I had no concept of it. And I was a little surprised. I had heard of it. But, all right, so the original Rose and Thorn, the original Rose was a lady named Rose Canton. She premiered in Flash Comics 89, 1947, created by John Byrne and Carmine Infantino. She had a split personality. So Rose was the normal lady, and then Thorn was her villainous personality. And she had the ability to control plants, like Poison Ivy.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that?
Original.
Makes sense with the name.
But after she was cured of the Thorn persona, Rose married Alan Scott.
Oh,
Green Lantern. Pete likes Green Lantern.
Ew.
And they had two kids together.
13 years old?
Oh, no. This is a different Green Lantern. The one that didn't like 13-year-olds. They had two kids together. But then her madness returned. She left Scott and put the kids up for adoption. And then she lived in seclusion. She resurfaces to fight the Justice Society a few times. But when she got her senses back, when she realized all she had done, she killed herself. Holy hell.
Wow.
That's pretty dark.
That got dark. Yeah. Alan Scott had such a crazy, dark ex-wife.
But in this issue...
Or Superman, for that fact, for at least 24 hours.
But in this issue, our Rose and Thorn story features a lady named Rosen Rose Forrest, the daughter of a Metropolis police officer who was killed by a criminal gang called the 100. And she was created by Robert Kaniger and Ross Andrew, who we know from The Amazing Spider-Man, of course. And she started running as a backstory with issue 105. So this is only her second appearance. And this Thorn has no superpowers, so she can't control plants, but she's a skilled fighter, and she carries combat daggers, a barbed whip, and a bandolier of thorn-shaped weapons that can do a bunch of stuff like explode, create smoke screens, or blind her opponents. How about that?
Oh, like that. All the stuff.
So that's who we're dealing with here. Rose and the Thorn. So again, it's not two ladies. It's one lady who's loopy. And
two identities. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Typhoid Mary, like Cenk was saying earlier.
Yep. The regular one's kind of just buttoned down and very timid. And then she's got her crazy nighttime alter ego, dresses scantily and, you know, goes out and kicks ass.
Yeah. And like Rose is a little blonde, a little pixie haircut. And then Thorn is a long-haired brunette. She puts on a wig.
And yeah.
Do you think Rose gets tired? Like, does she wonder why she's so tired all the time? Because when she goes to sleep, this Thorn goes out and goes throughout the city.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how she ever rests.
I feel like I never slept.
Yeah.
So. All right. So, Kev, would you like to – this is a pretty quick little story. I don't know. Is there anything you'd like to discuss about this?
So she goes to see a gold coffin, that it says, you know, this coffin is donated by the 100 for the Thorn. So it's a message from this group that killed her father that, you know, hey, we want your, you know, we're going to kill you. This is going to be your coffin.
Yeah. But again, like they don't know the Thorn, the guy that died was her father. Like that's Rose's. So Thorn, it's all very confusing.
Yeah. But she's the one going after them because of that. So yeah. Yeah, they want to stop her. So she gets attacked by like two hitmen. She kind of throws them into the coffin and chokes them out. And she's like, what am I doing? Why do I feel like a hurricane is exploding in my brain? And she kind of goes back to being Rose in the morning. And I guess that's it for now.
Yeah, she's got a little dog. You want to learn that dog's name now because it doesn't last long.
Yeah, not so much. Doesn't work out for the dog.
So there's like another guy who works at. Does she work at a funeral home or where does she work exactly? Or a flower store or what? She works at a flower store, I think. And the guy
works there. Yeah. Does she?
It seems like she knows that guy. Like, is that her boss or no?
Here's the work at. Date with Mr. Adams. Look around. Well, yeah, maybe. No, she's looking around. She must be a customer.
So that the her dead dad's former partner, is sweet on Rose, and they were going to go out on a date. She goes, sorry, I already got a date with this other fella. It's Mr. Adams guy. So this Adams guy runs a flower store, I think. Or no, I don't know. It's all very confusing.
Yeah, he's taking her there. I don't know. Maybe to get her flowers or something.
But the guy who runs that flower store's name is Mr. Orchid.
So yeah.
That comes in handy, you know.
He reminds me of Louis the Lilac from the 66 Batman show. You remember that?
Yeah, I think I do remember that guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But this Mr. Orchid
and
guy.
His daughter's Tulip.
Daisy. And yeah. So he's part of that gang of 100, and they want to get the Thorn. So now he's hiring this Adams fella who's going out on a date with Rose to kill the Thorn as well, I guess.
Yeah.
It's all very confusing. Who cares? You're never going to hear about these characters again in your life. Who cares? Anyway, he sent some flowers over to Rose's house, and he sprays them with poison, you know?
Yeah. He's like, this is win-win. Either I'll get the detective guy when he touches the flowers, or his girlfriend here will touch the flowers, and then he'll come back to me and, you know, walk right into a trap. So either way, I come out roses on this one.
But sadly, dogs love to chew roses. And this dog grabbed the rose in his mouth, and this dog is dead within seconds. So... That's the way you endear yourself to readers. Kill a dog. Damn dog's dead.
Why they couldn't have their own.
It was a different time.
Own issue.
Yeah, but this poor Rose, she just had her father killed, and now her dog's dead too. You're going to span him a week.
Yep.
It's just awful. So she goes to bed.
No wonder she's got a weird alter ego at nighttime.
I like how the boyfriend, the cop, he's got the flowers in a box under one arm, and then he's got the dead dog wrapped in a blanket in the other, and he's carrying them both out. He's like, all right, I'll take care of your dead dog. Don't worry about it. So she goes to bed, and she starts sweating, and like she's getting all, freaked out, having nightmares. But here she turns into that thorn lady. She goes, puts on her go-go boots and her skimpy little outfit and her wig, and now she goes out on the town as Thorn, and she tracks down those guys who put the poison in the flowers and whatnot, and she beats the hell out of them and saves her cop boyfriend, and that's the end. So there you go.
Yes. You summarized it all pretty damn well. But don't fret, because they'll be back in the January
issue. Turn into late. Rose or Thorn for that.
Yeah. But Pete, are you sad you didn't read that? Yeah?
No.
Okay. I like the concept, though. I think the concept's cool. But
I like the concept, too, but it's just weird.
But when I read it, when I initially started reading it, I thought she's Rose, and then whenever she, she knowingly turns into Thorn. But no, it seems like she has no idea she's Thorn.
Not at all, no. Weird. Yeah, I think they even mentioned that at one point, like unbeknownst to her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that seems very hard to keep that going. it just seems like, why not just let her be Rose and Thorn? Like, all right, yeah.
I do also like that they repeatedly use the for the Thorn. Like, yeah, she's not Thorn. Just Rose and Thorn. It's Rose and the Thorn.
The Thorn. Yeah. She's not a Thorn. She's the Thorn.
No.
Then we get another.
Be the Rose.
Well, that Rose is a dime a dozen, but there's only one Thorn. So now we get another little section here, Women of Distinction, where, again, we learn about a lot of other famous ladies throughout history. And Maxwell Converse, a tribal chief, the first white woman to be so honored. How about that?
She take that from Roman Reigns?
Yeah, we acknowledge the tribal chief here on this show. Blanche Stewart Scott flew an airplane across a field in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Becoming the first woman ever to make a solo flight? How about that? I didn't know that.
I do that, but I don't want to.
Yeah. Susanna Slater.
If you read this section in the comic, you get a little ad that says, Anna, 18 plus.
The first 18 plus porn star. But this 27-year-old Susanna Salter won the 1877 majority election by 2/3 majority vote to become the first woman mayor in America. How about that?
Wow.
27 years old.
Her term of office is for 1 year at a salary of $1.
If you were a man, you would have got $2. And, of course, Hannah Adams decided at the age of 17 to turn to writing as a means of earning a livelihood, thus becoming America's first professional woman author. How about that?
Oh.
What did she write? Mike Dell, you should know these.
I know, I have never heard of her. Scholar? Yeah, I never heard of her. Sorry. But,
you know, letters.
I am a man of letters. Then we get an ad for Snoopy Strikes Again. That looks pretty cool. You can get a little airplane with Snoopy on it. But all right, so there it is. That's the book. Pete, how do you feel about the whole experience of Lois Lane, the Superman's Girlfriend comic book?
Honestly, it was better than what I thought. I mean, obviously, I haven't read the rest of them, but I mean, it did tell a better story. I truly thought I was going to go off the rails, but it actually was pretty good. I mean,
Peter,
it went off the rails.
Are you driving right now to Little Africa? What are you doing, Pete?
I am on my way to Little Africa right now. And yes, I did go to the plastic mold first.
All right. Well, then you should be okay.
They'll talk to you.
Kev, what'd you think?
I would agree with Pete. It was a fun time. It didn't go into the territories mostly that you think they might have, taken some missteps into. It was a pretty good message. I liked it. And the Rose and Thorn stuff, like you said, was interesting. I'm not going to say it was the best told story I've ever read, but I liked the character well enough that it was interesting.
Yeah, I like Rose and Thorn. You get some Ross Andrew art there. Not as best stuff, but it's pretty good. I like this Werner Roth guy's art, though, in the first story. I thought he did a real good job there, like classic comic book art. Lois looked foxy. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. So I don't know. What do you think, Pete? 1 out of 10 for Lois Lane?
I'd say probably a good 7.5.
Yeah. I'll come in at 7. What do you think there, Kev?
Yeah, I think I'll also go 7.5. He's right on the money there.
It runs in the family, the Janks. Always good.
We like our heads.
So, all right, there
I'm
it is.
I'm an 8th man myself, but that's 2.5.
All right, so next week here on the big show, I'm always struggling coming up with books. But here's another DC character that I like. We've never done an actual story of him on the show. We did a little brief backup story with him, but this is a full issue. From 1985, Dead Man, issue 1.
Ooh!
And number 1.
Pete, right. You're familiar with Dead Man?
Yeah, I like me some Dead Man. Dead Man's pretty cool.
All right. Well, yeah, open invitation. You ever want to come back?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
It features art by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, and he's very good. We've had him. No, he is legit. Like, we've had him on the show.
Okay.
Remember, he did that Atari Force, the cover for Atari Force.
Oh, yeah, Atari Force. I don't remember how the cover looked anymore.
Oh, it was a great cover. It's a great cover. So
I remember her, like, there was a lady who made out with her stepdaughter.
Yeah, her brother, yeah. Atari Force is pretty great. So Pete probably saw an ad for it on that website he was on before he got
That's
here.
Right.
So. All right. Yeah, well, thank you, Pete. Appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, thank you for having me on. Thank you for letting me choose. I hope I get
yes.
And I'll make it spicy.
And what a choice it was. So, again, if you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And until next week, don't get any jank on you.